Welcome to Sunrise, the radio outreach of Calvary Christian Fellowship of Tucson, Arizona. Join us for the next half hour as we take a personal and up-close look at the Word of God with Pastor Scott Richards. Join us now as our teacher continues his study. Here's Pastor Scott.
I accepted Jesus and I'm water baptized. That's what makes me right with God. Well, what you're saying is a couple of really dangerous things. Number one, what you're saying is this. What Jesus did when he died on the cross for you wasn't enough. It wasn't enough to save you. You got to help Jesus out with this project. You got to go through this ritual or the transaction of salvation isn't complete. And there's all kinds of churches that will have all kinds of different points of emphasis that say, well, it's a two-part ticket to heaven, man. It's, you know, Jesus, you know, paid, you know, the first part, but you got to follow through and you got to do this, and then God will accept you. Well, you know, what Paul is saying is, hey, you know, you buy into one of those commands, you better buy into all of them. You know, you think you're right by being Jesus and circumcision, why stop there? You know, what about Sabbath keeping? Well, what about the Ten Commandments? What about all the other 613 Old Testament commandments? You better keep all of them. Why? Because if you don't keep all of them, you know what it makes you? A lawbreaker. You've broken the law. If you're going to say, I'm going to heaven because of what Jesus did and I'm keeping these commandments, you better keep them. Because if you don't keep all those commandments, you know what the Bible says about this? The book of James Chapter 2, James lays this out in such a vivid way for us. In verse 10, he says, for whoever shall keep the whole law and yet stumble in one point, he's guilty of all. Oh, whoa, you're kidding. Guilty of all? Yeah. You know why? Because, you know, maybe you are the nicest person, you know, I'll ever meet. Maybe you're the most holy and righteous and good individual and all of this. And man, you have meticulously tried to keep, you know, the Ten Commandments, and you drive home from church today and some clown cuts you off and the last thing you say before you leave this earth is, you idiot! Well, the Bible says if you're angry with your brother, it's like you committed murder in your heart. You're a lawbreaker. And guess what? Lawbreakers aren't getting into heaven. Putting your faith in your own righteousness. You know, Jesus said the standard for getting into heaven based on your own righteousness, he laid it out in the Sermon on the Mount. Matthew chapter 5, last verse, he said, be perfect as your heavenly Father is perfect. You want to get in? Have a perfect life. Now, never fail at any command of the law. Oh, but if you do, guess what? That makes you a lawbreaker. And guess who that gives you something in common with? Adolf Hitler. You understand something. If you miss heaven by 6 inches or 6,000 miles, doesn't matter. You still missed heaven. What the scripture is saying is you'll never be right with God by keeping that. You are incurring a debt you could never pay. The only one who could pay that debt was someone who lived a perfect life, and that's our Lord Jesus Christ. And that's why we tell you to put your faith and trust in what he has done for you. Because if you don't, you are spiritually BK, man. You are spiritually unable to ever pay off that debt. Because you might say, well, you know, I think I'm doing better now. Okay, well, great, you're doing better now, but what about your past? You know, try to imagine a police officer pulling you over for, you know, I went up to Phoenix yesterday, and, you know, let's face it, 75 is sort of a suggestion on I-10. You know, it's not really a law, right? It's a suggestion. And, you know, you're not driving 83 or so. You know, people are coming up on your rear view. You know, you got to keep moving. Well, you know, say you get pulled over. You know, you drift up to about 90 and the, you know, DPS pulls you over. And you go, oh, you're doing 90 miles an hour out here. I got to ride. Whoa, wait a minute. You need to understand something. You know, on my commute, I go through a school zone every day. And I make sure that I don't drive 16 miles an hour. I don't drive 15 miles. I drive 14 miles an hour every time through there. I keep that law perfectly. Well, the DPS guy's not going to be very amused by that, right? He goes, yeah, but that doesn't excuse your 120 miles an hour here on I-10. Good for you on that one, but you failed here. You see, what we do in the past can't make up for our present. You know, we're all sinners. We all fall short of the glory of God. It's a debt that we can't pay. And if you decide that you got this two-part ticket to heaven, your good deeds and what Jesus did for you, well, then be good. Be very, very good. Because you got to keep the whole thing. That's what Paul is saying. If that's your approach to God, you become estranged from Christ, verse 4 says. You attempt to be justified by law. You have fallen from grace. Whoa, there's that phrase, right? Fallen from grace. You know, and it's so funny. You read the commentators, and there's all kinds of people who try to soft pedal this. They try to say, well, this doesn't really mean what you think it means. Because, falling from grace, that could mean, getting your eyes off of grace or, experiencing, the lack of joy and fulfillment in your walk with God because you're no longer walking. You know, in the original language, you know how this phrase, you've fallen from grace, is literally translated? You've fallen out of grace. You know, you're no longer in grace, man. You've fallen out of it. You are estranged from Christ. The word estranged there means to take an agreement and make it null and void. It's almost like a divorce has taken place. He said to Jesus, sorry, your love isn't good enough for me. I think I need to bring something to this party, so I'm leaving you behind, eternal bridegroom, and I'm going to do my own religious thing. That's how vivid, that's how devastating this is. Now, I know what some of you are thinking out there. Scott, you're coming perilously close here to saying that somebody could lose their salvation. That someone, by turning back to the law, by turning away from basing their righteousness on Jesus and all he's done for us, and substituting their own glory, are you saying that we could lose our salvation? Well, what I say, in $3.50, I get a cup of coffee at Starbucks. But I will tell you this whole idea of eternal security versus can you lose it in your walk with God. Man, I'll tell you what, I've been on the eternal security side of this. At one point in my Christian life, I considered the doctrine of eternal security, or once saved, always saved, to be a deal breaker, a non-negotiable. I won't budge on that one. That's what the Bible teaches. The only problem is you do run into scriptures that talk about the great security we have in our walk with God. In John chapter 6, Jesus said, the one who comes to me, I will in no wise cast out. Of all the ones the Father has given to me, I shall lose none. God has never said, oops, one time in the history of mankind. And there are great verses that we find that talk about the assurance that we have in our salvation, that God does all things well. And what he started in you, Philippians 1:6 says, he's going to bring to completion until the day of Christ Jesus. Man, I can preach it. I taught it. I was adamant about it. And I'm still adamant about those verses on security. But understand something else. The Bible also says that salvation is not something to be taken for granted. It's not something where we can play games with this. And it's interesting. You can lose it side. We'll say things like, we are not those who draw back to perdition or eternal instruction, but those who believe to the saving of the soul. You have need perseverance in order that when you've done what God has asked, you'll receive the promise. These ideas of sticking with it and hanging in there and finishing your race. The you can lose it side emphasizes those. So where do we sit with all this? Well, I discovered something. I've sat in on so many debates on this subject, and I'm going to save you guys a lot of wear and tear and time and effort and kind of condense it all down to you. This whole deal about once saved, always saved versus can you lose it, it's an attempt to explain a phenomena that sooner or later you're going to encounter in the Christian life. An individual who once had a testimony of walking with the Lord, who ain't walking with the Lord anymore. A person that maybe you knew, and maybe you whose walk with God you even respected and looked up to, who has just tanked and gone to the other side. They've gone to the dark side, so to speak. A great example of this was a fellow who was a contemporary of Billy Graham. His name was Charles Templeton. Charles Templeton was considered the Billy Graham of Canada. In fact, when people would hear Charles Templeton do evangelistic crusades, they would often say he's a much better evangelist than Billy is. And thousands of people came to Christ through the ministry of Charles Templeton. But interestingly, Charles Templeton started to drift in his faith. He decided he was going to take a hiatus and devote himself to pursuing some more education in his life, and he started to pursue more and more of a secular education, and before too long, he lost interest in using his evangelistic gifts. More than that, he continued to drift to the point where he finally got out of the ministry altogether. More than that, he eventually became the editor of a newspaper in Toronto and confessed, and it was kind of headlines back in the day, that he was no longer a Christian, that he didn't believe in God at all. In fact, he wrote a book denouncing Christianity called Farewell to God. Now, what do you do with a Charles Templeton? How do you make sense of that? Well, I understand both of the sides of our salvation coin here are trying to explain the Templeton phenomenon. One side, the you-can-lose-it side, looks at a guy like Templeton and says, well, okay, you know, you denounce Christ, you write books, you know, saying, you shouldn't believe in Christ, you make a mockery of the gospel. Yeah, this guy, he may have had it, but he don't have it now. Pretty clear, right? What about the once saved, always saved side? You know, Templeton not only made a decision to receive Christ, he led thousands of people to Christ, but here he is writing books on atheism. You know what they say? You know what? He's clever, that guy, but he was a counterfeit. He didn't really receive Christ, because if he really received Christ, he never would have walked away like that. You know what cracks me up about that argument? Both sides, as much as they hate to admit it, are saying the same thing. Both sides are looking at a guy like Templeton, who might have done extraordinary things for the kingdom of God in terms of service. And they understand something. God honors his word. He doesn't necessarily honor the vessel. You know, I'm fond of reminding our staff, you know, in the book of Numbers, we are told that God spoke through a donkey, and he's been speaking through donkeys ever since. Just because God uses you to share the word doesn't mean you're all that. It means God's word is all that. But understand something, you know, when both sides look at Templeton, as much as they're loath to admit it, both sides look at a guy like that and say, that guy needs Jesus. They're just quibbling about how he got there. Did he have it and lose it, or did he never have it in the first place? You know what? I don't know. But if I run into somebody and say, I got a seminary degree, and I, you know, was a pastor of a church, and I led all these people to Christ, and I hate Jesus right now, I go, man, you need the Lord, dude. I'm not going to turn around to somebody like that and say, oh, well, you prayed a prayer. You're all right. Yeah, you'll be fine. You know, you accepted Jesus at a church camp. You know, don't worry about it. Man, I don't want to gamble on someone's eternity like that. And it's funny how both sides end up saying the same thing. So how do you make sense of all of this? You know, interestingly, Charles Templeton was interviewed by Lee Strobel in his book, The Case for Faith. And Templeton at this point was starting to suffer the effects of Alzheimer's disease. He subsequently died a few years ago. But we had Lee Strobel on our program, A Reason for Hope. And I asked him about talking with Templeton about his faith. And he said probably the most poignant thing about it all was, you know, when he asked him, you know, why are you an atheist? He just was given the party line, preaching this atheistic thing. And then he says, well, what do you think about Billy Graham? And Templeton said, oh, Billy, man, I respect that guy so much. He's pure gold. And then Strobel says, well, what do you think about Jesus? And Strobel said, his eyes welled up with tears. And he goes, I miss him. I miss him so much. And then he kind of hardened up his heart again and went on from there. Well, I guess what I'm trying to tell you this morning is this. You don't want to be a Charles Templeton, do you? I don't want to be a Charles Templeton. I don't want to come alongside Charles Templeton type people and say, oh, don't worry about it. You're all right. You can fall from grace, man. You can fall out of grace if you don't understand what grace is. God's riches at Christ's expense. If your salvation is not based on solely what Jesus has done for you, his death and resurrection on your behalf, then chances are it's based on something less. It's based on religion. It's based on performance. It's based upon peer evaluation. Everybody else thinks you're all right. But on Judgment Day, I'm here to tell you this morning, gang, only one person's opinion is going to matter. And that's the one who's going to be sitting on the judge's chair with the nail-scarred hands. And there's only going to be one question he's going to ask. Did you know me or not? Did you put your faith and your trust in what I've done for you or not? Not church attendance, not sitting through Deuteronomy, not taking notes in a Bible study, not going on an evangelistic crusade, not doing missions work, not studying God's word, not learning how to hold your hands just so in a worship service. God's not interested in that. What he's interested in is, do you know me or do you not? Have you put your trust in me or haven't you? And you see, that's the issue. And you know, this whole thing about once saved, always saved versus can you lose it? You know, like I said, I've heard the arguments on both sides. The only position on this that really made sense was something that Pastor Chuck Smith said in a message, and it just really clarified this issue for me, and I want to share it with you because I hope it does for you as well. In John chapter 15, in verse 5, Jesus said, I am the vine, you're the branches. He who abides in me and I in him bears much fruit, for without me you can do nothing. If anyone does not abide in me, he's cast out as a branch and is withered, and they gather them and throw them into the fire, and they're burned. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, you will ask what you desire, and it will be done for you. By this my Father is glorified, that you bear much fruit, so you'll be my disciples. As the Father loved me, I have also loved you. Abide in my love. Now, here's what Chuck Smith said about this that I think will really help you out in this circumstance. He said this, I believe in the eternal security of those who abide in a living relationship with Jesus Christ. But I also believe in the eternal insecurity of those who don't abide in a living relationship with Jesus Christ. Here's what I think we're getting at with this whole idea of falling from grace and really evaluating what our hope of eternal life is all about here today. Two things I want to leave you with this morning. Number one, in light of what Jesus has done for us, in light of how serious this is, in light of this warning about falling out of grace, number one, don't play games with God. Don't play games with your Christian life. Don't, as Fred Allen once so famously said, you know, sow your wild oats 6 days a week and come here to church on Sunday morning and pray for crop failure. You know, don't think that you can snow God or fool God. The book of Hebrews chapter 4 says that all things are open and naked before the eyes of the one with whom we have to do. God sees you 24/7. He doesn't have an on-off switch. He doesn't say, okay, oh, wow, they're in the church sanctuary. I better pay attention to them now. And then when you leave here, oh, I guess they're on their own. You know, Gabe, have you seen where they got? I lost track. No, God is on top of it. God sees you and knows you. He said, I will never leave you and never forsake you, and that will either be a great moment of assurance for you when you understand that, or it'll give you the willies a little bit. He ain't going anywhere. And you take him with him wherever you go. He's a witness to everything you say and everything you do. Don't come here, straighten your halo, speak a little King James English to me as you leave here. Pastor, I'm rejoicing with much joy and wailing and gnashing of teeth, and think you're all right. You're playing games. God doesn't play games. And understand, that's the second thing. And this is what I want to leave you with. Don't play games with God because God's not playing games with you. God isn't going to be like, you remember the Peanuts cartoon about Lucy and Charlie Brown? Every year he'd try to kick the football. Right? And she said, come up and kick the football. You know, Charlie Brown, and she'd be holding it there for him. And he'd go, this is the year I'm going to kick the football. And he'd always yank it out of the way and poof. Some people look at God that way. They think that God's like Lucy. You know, that you're going to come up and oh, well, I put my faith in Jesus. And you're going to, oh, sorry. Whoa, down to H-E double hockey sticks with you. What a twisted view of God. That's not how God operates. God doesn't play games with us. How do we know? Romans chapter 8 and verse 31 says this. What shall we say to these things? If God is for us, who will be against us? If he didn't spare his only son but gave him up for us all, how will he not along with him freely give us all things? God was so invested in your salvation, he paid for it personally, excruciatingly, for the person of Jesus Christ. And if God was willing to do that, to make your salvation possible. Don't you think he's going to do each and everything necessary to make your salvation personal and permanent? God's not playing games. The big question is, where's our faith? Where's our hope? Where's our trust? Is it in what God has done for us? Or are we falling into the trap of believing that we're okay with God because of what we do for him? Father, as we come before you this morning, what a challenging passage of Scripture. And what a beautiful thing it is when we abide in the vine, when we just make it our business to enjoy your presence moment by moment and day by day, to not be satisfied with our lives even one day at a time, unless we can say at the end of the day, you know what, Lord, I feel like I've come to know you a little bit better. I feel like we're a little bit closer than when this day began. God, I thank you that that's not something we can do by working up enough gumption or reading enough books or writing enough New Year's resolutions. It's only something we can do by faith and trust in you. It's only by receiving you and releasing control of our lives to you that we can receive these great blessings. We've got everything to gain and literally nothing to lose. And so, Father, I pray in this holy moment, while you're searching people's hearts and minds, we wouldn't think about our neighbor. We wouldn't think about somebody who needs to hear this message. We think about ourselves. And that your Holy Spirit would show us where our confidence is and where it needs to be. And, Father, if we are doing the old three steps forward, two steps back samba, and we stumble and we fall and we think, oh, gosh, Lord, I just blow it so much and my heart's just broken about it. But, you know, sometimes I wonder, you know, have I got, hey, Lord, I pray that you would show these people. The fact they're asking that question shows they haven't gone too far. You're still working on them, and you're going to continue to work on them until they're everything you created them to be. But, Lord, I pray as well for those who may have bought into this idea that they can have a compartmentalized Christianity or that they can buy you off with a few religious phrases or activities. God, nothing is going to justify us aside from the finished work of Jesus. And so I pray for them that you would walk them back to the cross and realize the enormity, the width and length and depth and height of your amazing love that you show, dying for their sins, and that their boast and their confidence would be in nothing else and nothing less than Jesus and he alone. Father, give us that foundation. Help us to stand and keep standing for this. Because if we don't stand for it, we're going to fall. Make sure, Lord, through the work of your Spirit, we're standing on that hope and faith and trust in you, which will never let us down. In Jesus' name, amen.
Bible teacher and pastor Scott Richards of Calvary Christian Fellowship of Tucson, Arizona. Be sure to join us next time as we continue through the Word of God here on Sunrise. In the meantime, we invite you to get in touch with us here at CCF to request your own copy of what we heard on today's broadcast. We also extend an invitation for you to join us for worship and study of God's Word. We're located at 3850 North Commerce Drive. Simply go one block west of I-10 on Prince Road, then two blocks north. Our Sunday morning worship times are 9 a.m. and 11 a.m. Our Wednesday study gets underway at 6:30 p.m. For more information on our many outreaches, you can call 292-9661, 292-9661. You can also call that number if you want an audio copy of today's broadcast. That's 292-9661. Or visit our website at calvarychristianfellowship.com. That's calvarychristianfellowship.com. Well, thanks again for joining us, and be sure to make plans to be with us next time for more of Sunrise with Scott Richards.
Jesus, sweet Savior, we want to glorify.
has been made possible by Calvary Christian Fellowship of Tucson, Arizona.